Welcome to the Radius Project, what happens when we explore the edges, paths, and landmarks of a city and meet our neighbors.
Hartford is a country town, and it's a small city with a country feel, and we've got to get people to understand that collaboration, relationships work. The reason that we're not getting anything done is we're working in silos.
I did not want to come to Hartford, but, you know, I stuck it out and I started meeting some really great people who were like-minded, and the next thing you know, I could start to see something happening. So now this is my home. I'm glad that I stayed, actually. My sister says I'm a big fish in a little pond here.
You in Kenny Park. I'm going here, I'm doing what I do every day. I come up here and fish. My favorite part about me here, enjoying myself and getting away. I've been coming here all my life, man.
We're finding unexpected stories close to spots you might already know, mapping Hartford, Connecticut in a new way. I'm Jamil Ragland.
And I'm Julia Pistel. Jamil and I both live in Hartford. He lives in the North End, and I live south of downtown.
In each episode, we'll look at a well-known landmark and then explore the half-mile radius around it.
We're searching for some new, or maybe some old, perspectives on our home, its beauties, its issues, and most importantly, its people. Like any city, Hartford too often gets simplified. Here's what people say about it. It's the capital of a rich state. It's riddled with violence. It's got an incredible history. It's dying. It's coming to life. It's beautifully diverse. It's shockingly segregated.
Some see it as a tiny town in the shadow of Boston and New York. Some see it as the big city surrounded by quaint New England towns. Some love it, some hate it, while others fear it. Some work every day to make it better. Sometimes, one person thinks all of these things on the same day.
In his 1960 book, The Image of the City, urbanist Kevin Lynch talks about a few ways we might create an imaginary map of a place where we live or work. He says there are five ways we start to become familiar with a place. A recognizable landmark is number one. A pathway is another, like a well-known road. An edge is an important boundary that we keep in mind, like a city line or a highway overpass. Lynch also talks about nodes and districts, in other words, key intersections and known parts of town. Today, we'll take you to Keeney Park Pool. But on our way there...
Hey, that's NPR. Oh, shit. I listen to it all the time. Never seen you guys.
That's Gregory Richard.
Most people know me as Joe.
We ran into him at the Keeney Park Pond. He was fishing with a friend.
Every time I walk through here, I think of two things. One, Henry Keeney, the guy that dedicated this park. What the hell he had that he could give this much land to the city of Hartford. And then I think of this. He dedicated this park to the residents of Hartford that it could be nothing but a park. But out of all the parks in Hartford, this one is the least maintained. And I wonder why. I think I know the reason why. I mean, look where it's at. It's in the middle of the underpoverished neighborhood. Outside of this park is nothing but blight, poverty, concrete jungle, crime. But you come up here and all that disappears for a few square miles, you know? It's nice. I mean, and this park belongs to everybody, you know? It could be nothing but a park for the residents of the city of Hartford. How nice, you know? I've been coming to this park, I'm 52 since I was 5 years old, and I live less than an eighth of a mile from here. I always came to this pond. I've watched them drain this pond a few times. I've watched them build these docks. I've watched them transform the pond. I used to ride bikes through here. I went to the service. I got out. I came up here jogging. I mean, it's just so much going on up here, man, you know? And then it's just so underappreciated because people just not taught how to appreciate nature. I love this park, man. I mean, I probably come into the day I die, man, you know?
Park is a vast 694 acres designed by Frederick Law Olmsted's family firm. A lot of Hartford residents believe that Olmsted, the legendary designer of Central Park, created Keeney, including me until I was researching this very piece, because Olmsted is from Hartford. As a boy, he walked in Hartford's 10-mile woods. It's so easy to imagine young Olmsted walking in the woods, getting inspiration that would last him a lifetime and literally change the landscape of American cities. Where are those woods now? In Keeney Park. These days, Keeney Park is home to horse stables, a golf course, a pool, cricket fields, basketball courts, There even used to be a zoo. That's right, a zoo called Sherwood Forest.
Sherwood Forest closed down in 1976, but a few still remember it.
We had bears, we had lions, you know what I'm saying? We had horses, you know what I'm saying? Peacocks, you know, so sheep. You know, it was everything that kids can imagine. Monkeys. Oh, the zoo was awesome.
That's Henry Hester. He's a member of the Friends of Keeney Park, an organization of volunteers that helps to maintain and promote the park.
I didn't grow up here. But I have a love for Hartford. I spent more time in Hartford than I've spent in Georgia. So Hartford is my home, and I'm invested. My kids grew up here, and my grandkids grew up here. So my job has been to make this a healthy city, mm-hmm. and my grandkids to love where they live.
Henry showed me around the grounds of the park, including the 18-hole golf course the city has promised will be up and running soon.
We want to continue to show the community and the business community we're worthy to be invested in. You know what I'm saying? And I hope that people look at us as a commodity that's worth being invested. You know, I'm continuing to work with the state and the city and hopefully the federal government to do some stuff to make Keeney Park a lot more value.
The city has updated the basketball courts and say they hope to replace the playscape equipment in the next year. Henry drove me all over the park and then insisted we go to
Old North Cemetery, which is the resting place of Federal Law Olmsted. And we want our young people to understand the importance of the forefathers and what they left for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is his
grave right here. Grave site. This is his tomb. And if you notice, the whole family's in here. I've been very privileged to go down and see the tomb in this this resting place.
How did you feel when you were down there?
Basically, I felt very proud to be part of being able to tell his story. And also, I'm very proud to be able to tell his story now as I exist. That this guy was no different than any of us. And if you do go read a lot of his history, I'm going to say he was passionate about what he'd do.
Henry hopes that the kids who learn about Olmsted will be just as full of passion as the legendary landscape designer.
One, two, three!
One of the highlights of the park, especially during the summer, is the public pool. When it was hot and sunny out, we stopped by for a swim.
What is your favorite thing about the pool?
¿Cuál es tu favorita cosa de la piscina?
La parte honda.
Nadar
en como en la parte honda.
You know, a mí me gusta nadar.
You know the part where it's like way down here. Yeah, he likes the
deep end.
The deep end, yeah.
Nice. Vente, que nos vamos a hacer una entrevista. Vente, vente. His name is dile. ¿Cuál es tu nombre?
Well, dear, he was premature. 6 months and 3 weeks, almost seven. And he was 1 pound and 2 ounces when he was born. They told me that he was not gonna make it. Look how big he is. Yeah, you're a man right now, right? He's really intelligent.
Are you having a good swim today?
Yes.
What is your favorite thing about swimming here?
What's
that
for?
That's recording your voice. Say hi. Everybody say hi.
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 Whoever this TV
is. Hi.
It's not TV. It's just radio.
Okay. My name is Johnny Nieves Jr. I've been doing this for 26 years, and I am the head guard.
Yeah. So, you're okay? Let's go get some water.
Yeah. I started in 1989, right in my junior year. I took the course at Hartford High, and this was my first site. It's been wonderful ever since, and I've been here ever since, and I'm running this facility. I'm in charge. I have right now 17 staff under me, and that I'm responsible. And I'm telling you, I'm blessed with these staffs. I'm blessed. You know, they all have patience. But just to have a job like this, you gotta have a lot of patience. A lot of patience, because there's time that when you're dealing with the community, and it's not easy. We have parents here that come by and say, you know what, sweetheart, that was my instructor. You know, and it feels good. Even at Harpa High, I've been in the school system for 18 years. I'm a swimming instructor, you know. I never sleep, you know. This is what I do. I wake up smelling like chlorine. You know, this is me.
We could spend the entire episode in Kenny Park. We've got to see what's going on in Albany Ave as well, a business hub that's just blocks away. Denise Best has lived in the neighborhood for 35 years.
We met her a block from the park. She moved here from Boston in the 80s, and she said it took 15 years for Hartford to grow on her.
I did not want to come to Hartford. Well, I didn't want to leave Boston. For one, I was, you know, I have my classroom. I was an elementary school teacher, and Hartford, where's that? I had never really heard about Hartford, Connecticut, and I wasn't interested in moving. And for the first couple of years, I actually stayed in a leave of absence status with Boston Public Schools because I was actually thinking that maybe I could commute and go home and teach and then drive home every day. It was insane. I just didn't like it here.
Denise said she was worried about the public education system in Hartford. She sent her daughter to Catholic school. In her neighborhood, there were drive-by shootings, drugs were rampant, and city services were lacking.
You know, I grew up in the inner city in Boston, but we never had these kinds of issues to deal with. So I was ready to leave. I had looked into a school. I had the school, I had the apartment, everything down in Maryland. I was done. And I was asked to come to a meeting at Christian Activities Council, and they were talking about the mayor's initiative for pride blocks. Well, you could sign up if you wanted your street to be a pride block. And I said, I don't care about this initiative. I'm out of here. And Reverend Don Steinle said to me, you know, you're the kind of person that we need to have involved. So please, you know, reconsider, you know. And so I was like, yeah, not really, but I'll sign up for the street, you know. I can't tell you how that changed my street.
And that was the beginning. Now she's a member of just about every committee and board you can possibly be involved in around town. As she walks down Albany Avenue, a street that's a mix of local businesses, big chains, historic buildings, and all kinds of people out and about, almost every single person we pass says hi to Denise.
That structure right there is going to be a laundromat. We're so happy. There's no laundromat in this community. We don't have an ice cream shop. We don't have a coffee shop. These are the kinds of things that we're hoping to put in the development at the corner of Albany and Woodland.
That development is her current passion project. She hopes there will be a jazz supper club, too.
Denise says crime rates are down in the neighborhood, but she has no problem complaining about the incessant blight. There's tension about the city's money going into the new baseball stadium opening in the spring and the neighborhood's need for a real supermarket.
We're living in a food desert. You know, we are begging to have a real A-level supermarket. As I said, I live right here in the neighborhood. I've been a homeowner here for 35 years. My money leaks out. I actually say, my daughter will say, Mom, where you going? I'm going to leak my money into West Hartford. I'm about to leak my money into Bloomfield. Every time I have to go shopping, that's where I have to go.
In April 2015, a section of North Hartford that includes the Upper Albany neighborhood was designated a federal promise zone.
It's one of just 13 high-poverty areas in the nation that will get help bringing in federal money, and it could mean tax breaks for those who invest in the community. But Denise says a lot of promises have been made to residents here, with not a lot of follow-through.
This neighborhood, we say, is plan-wary. They don't want to hear about another plan because so many plans never come to fruition for us.
And when things do happen, she says it often comes from the ground up. Like when the local post office was slated to close about 5 years ago. The community was not happy.
First of all, that post office is never empty. There's always a line when you go in there. But it not only serves Upper Albany, but it also serves Asylum Hill. It serves Blue Hills. Many of our immigrant population go here to send packages back home. This is a walking neighborhood, so a lot of people walk to this post office. The elderly were still doing money orders to pay their bills, so they come here to get money orders for that. And this is not a community that buys a lot of things online like other communities do. That was probably the first time that the community really came together under an organizing effort and made something happen, and we were so very proud.
Denise says the post office win really empowered the community.
As we walk down Albany Avenue, she points out another building that's had a huge impact on the neighborhood. We look over at a huge brick structure with a perfect lawn in front. It's the Artist Collective.
First of all, look over there. It's pristine. Because there's a mindset that says, we protect this building. Through all of their dance classes, I mean, they set the stage for behavior, for appreciation, for respect for each other. It's fantastic. It's a movement over there. It really has a great effect on how children view themselves and each other and the respect that they have for their teachers and that particular building. I mean, every day, it's amazing. You can go through the back into the parking lot. You won't see a bit of trash. It's almost like a church.
Naturally, we had to visit. Here's our producer, Jay Holt, with the story of the Artist Collective.
The Artist Collective is one of the most recognized landmarks on Albany Avenue. But the building is not what Hebu Rosetta is talking about when she describes the collective.
Artist Collective has impacted me physically, mentally, and emotionally. I feel more socially open.
Now 18, Rosetta has been taking classes here since she was 2 years old.
It's had a big impact on my life.
The collective started as an idea way back in 1970, an idea hatched in the living room of Dolly McLean and her late husband, Jackie.
He was particularly interested in young people who did not have hope and really felt that he needed to use whatever resources he had in developing a program that would inspire them, that would teach them, and push them on.
Jackie was a jazz legend. He was a student of Charlie Parker, Bud Powell, and Thelonious Monk. He became one of the most sought-after saxophonists in the world. Dolly was a dancer, but from the beginning, there was a focus on incorporating as many art forms as possible in hopes of engaging as many kids as possible. They assembled a team of fellow artists and started with classes at multiple locations around Hartford. But even from the beginning, their goals went beyond just the arts.
It was to really nurture, educate, and really touch many of the children in a neighborhood, we're not just speaking of this neighborhood. It's wherever children are who are poor, who don't have the advantages that other children have, and to really give them a sense of themselves besides training them in whatever that might be. I think people, and young people especially, need to care about themselves, love themselves, and understand that they are not disposable, if you will.
It's a place where you can feel free to express yourself.
Originally from Jamaica, DeVay Ann Bennett moved to the neighborhood in 2010 after getting her dance training in California.
It doesn't matter what art, it's a place of different arts. I've never been to a studio that has dance, singing, drama, visual arts, martial arts, any art you can think about it, we have it here. It's a place just to come here and just be yourself.
Bennett came to the collective initially as a volunteer during her first summer in Hartford. She's now one of the collective's full-time dance teachers.
And I work with the neighborhood kids and seeing them being able to come to a place that is, you know, a safe place to be. And you see these kids work and see those small moments they achieve, like after 5 months trying, they finally got in. You see in their eyes that they're learning discipline, and it's just amazing.
She also works with and studies under the collective's master choreographer, Ako Thompson.
Now I may crack, because my voice is not what it used to be, so I may crack. You may hear, yeah, okay. And I'm definitely not going to go A above A now. But anyway, I'll do trees. I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is
prepared. Now 82 years old, Thompson has done it all in his career. As a performer, he danced with Josephine Baker, toured three continents, and studied with many of the most recognizable names in dance. Along the way, he gave up his own performing career to focus his efforts on community education, and for a pretty simple reason.
The children. They are present in our future. Without them, we have nothing.
In the 42 years Thompson has been teaching at the Collective, he's become a cult figure here. He's developed his own dance technique, and along with tap, jazz, ballet, and African dance, his classes are infused with African music and African history. Whether walking down Albany Ave or getting on city buses, he's recognized and enthusiastically greeted by students he hasn't seen in decades.
When you reach a child, see, there's two things. If you treat a child right, they will never forget you, no matter how old. And if you treat them bad, they won't forget that either. Those informative years are very, very important.
Before there was an artist collective, there was a void.
Cheryl Smith is another of the collective's master teachers, and she's been involved since those first conversations in the McLean's living room. She was born and raised in Hartford. At the time, she says the one teacher in the state teaching African dance was in New Haven, and there was no place that offered this wide a variety of dance under one roof. Despite having taught here for over 40 years, she feels she's still learning from her mentors, Dolly McLean and Dako Thompson, every day. However, the collective has now been an integral part in the lives of generations of Hartford children who didn't know life without it.
So those of us who have had that opportunity to get that exposure and to be involved, some of us may not even realize it. And a lot of the kids, they don't realize it until they're away from it.
One of those kids is recent Berklee College of Music grad, Lomar Brown. He attended for 6 years and found inspiration in the artists at the collective and among its alumni.
Especially since a lot of those people would leave and then they'd come back to the collective and actually teach us and share their stories of being out in the world of music. And not saying that my teachers that weren't black didn't influence me as well, but being a young black man, young black child, really, in this country, it's very important to see people who especially look like you doing things that you look to do.
Brown is now a professional musician, and he gives a lot of the credit to the faculty at the collective.
I would not be here without any of them. Even if I didn't learn from them directly, just being around all these people, you just can't get it in a book, and you just can't get it being homeschooled, you know? It's priceless, really, what it is.
Countless students have come out of the Artist Collective, including Jimmy Green, who was recently nominated for 2 Grammy Awards for his album Beautiful Life, a celebration of his daughter. Anna was killed in the Newtown school shootings, inspiring Jimmy's music. But other students have stayed closer to home. Some of the Artist Collective dancers were recruited for an annual performance of Nightfall, a yearly celebration of the changing of the seasons, the brainchild of Hartford's award-winning puppeteer and kinetic sculptor Ann Cubberley. In 2015, it was in Keeney Park. It brought hundreds of new people onto the grounds. We sat in on a meeting of the Friends of Keeney with Henry Hester and others. And that particular day, they were buzzing. It was the very first meeting after Nightfall.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. I tell you, it was awesome. I mean, you was totally into it the whole time. From the beginning to the end, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
And they ran out of food.
I mean, it was a good sign. It was a lot of people. Right. The thing that I was so amazed by and very happy with was the level of diversity there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And then some people I was talking to, some people from New Britain, mm-hmm. some people were from Farmington, and it was a very diverse crowd, and which is amazing, you know, growing up here in Hartford and, mm-hmm. you know, the Keeney Park that we grew up with, when most of us was told we couldn't even go, you know, if you was from a certain family, you couldn't even go in there. You'd be like, oh, no, you ain't going there. So now to see all these different people at night in Keeney Park was very nice.
Yeah.
The conversation evolved into the topic of perception, something we mentioned before and something that people in Hartford are constantly battling.
And I think we have to do this as far as selling our city. We cannot allow folks who don't live in my city. You know, I think we all got an opinion, and your opinion is yours. But I want to continue to build this love for the city that it sells itself. You know what I'm saying? And we don't get caught up in that. I really don't care what people feel.
It really does.
With the historical presence of what Hartford is all about, I think we just have to stay focused and where we want to go.
I think the city really does sell itself. Because, you know, all of us, I have young children. A lot of mm-hmm. young children are grown. Mm-hmm. So their friends nowadays, they come from all over the place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I live on Palm Street, and they're always amazed.
Amazed.
When they come to my house.
Yes.
Because, you know, they come with a certain preconceived
yes.
notion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Simsbury, West Hartford, mm-hmm. Farmington.
I've been living with them.
And, you know, so mm-hmm. then they come, like, oh, my God. Then I get a little worried. I don't know. They're going to try to move in. I'm not going to be able to afford it. And then they see the houses on Richfield Street. They're like, oh, my God, this is the north end of Hartford. This is all the bad stuff I hear. Mm-hmm. And then I don't hear any gunshots. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, you know, that's not everywhere.
No.
You know what I mean?
And that goes back to the media.
It goes back to understanding that we live in a city.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a little bit to do with our small Connecticut mentality.
Yes.
We live in a city, and cities have good neighborhoods, bad mm-hmm. neighborhoods, middle-class neighborhoods. They have everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, when Connecticut, our minds are so small sometimes mm-hmm. that we think we hear one thing happen. Oh, that's everywhere.
Yeah. It's blanket.
It's his blanket. Though.
And so when something like nightfall happens, something that brings people into the park, these guys feel like it's their opportunity to change perceptions.
So a small disclaimer here, Jamil. I was and I always am a performer in nightfall. I play a giant squirrel. And this year, we got to emerge from the woods of Keeney Park. It was so cool. So I brought my recorder along to talk to the cast on the night of the show.
Hi, I'm Rosanna Karabetsos.
I am Arian E. Wilkerson.
My name is Jeanette Christie, a.k.a. Lady Gutta, a.k.a. Jen.
Janaya Jolie Barclay.
Uzoma Grace Chikora.
I'm a dancer in Nightfall. I'm also a puppeteer, and I am in control of the Water Goddess. She is my goddess, my puppet. The Water Goddess is 11 feet tall. Gorgeous blue, like an aqua blue, sparkly blue sequence. She's huge. She's long. She's got long legs, got a long back. Girl can move.
I am the tree god. I crump. I am crumping in my wonderful green fringe outfit.
I play around in the cute red monkey, and I also did all the choreography this year.
The role that I play in Nightfall is I'm a squirrel.
In Nightfall, my special part is, like, I have this giant chili pepper that's almost as tall as me, and I go into the middle of the stage and dance around with it.
Keeney Park has been a big part of my life. I grew up on it. I grew up swimming in a swimming pool, playing in the sprinklers, like the playscape. I just kind of grew up here, doing all that other stuff when I got older. You know, this was the park.
I used to come here, actually, to this very location, to Lookout Mountain, that's what we call it, to go sledding with my dad. Like, he used to bring us here and just bring us sledding and just had fun, had a lot of fun here.
The park makes me feel joyful because, there's tall grass and the grass isn't wet and there's a huge field that you can play on and there's in the woods and there's a lot of space.
Honest opinion, I didn't really know much about Keeney Park until Nightfall. You know, I knew it was from the North End, and then there's all those stereotypes about the North End, and no, don't go to the North End, it's dangerous, all these things, but I barely even knew it existed to this magnitude. You know what I mean? Like, I walked into the park for our first day rehearsal, and I was like, whoa, this is like, it feels like a whole world in itself. So now I feel really amazingly about Kinney Park, but I didn't know much about it before.
Of course, guess that. The worst lesson was never lost. I burst facts. Now we in Kinney Park. It's a big, beautiful place. And with nightfall, it's a big, beautiful space. And see these puppets? They got a big, beautiful face. And everybody in the world's a big, beautiful race. So this is a multicultural, multi-diasporic thing. And it's free in the park. You can't afford it. Now next time you know, you could come up with your Ford or your jet, whatever you got, and camcord it. But no flash photography, please. When I come through on the scene, you're gonna drop to your knees or feel like it, because we like the Moco John B's, the stilt walkers. And I'm the one who's still talking in a puppet play where nobody is verbal. That should concern you. You got something to learn too. Now you know that we in CT, so it's only right that I'm improvising like CT.
That freestyling right there is self-suffice. The voices are from Nightfall last October in Kinney Park. We didn't want to end this episode without answering Joe's question from the very beginning.
Henry Kinney, the guy that dedicated this park, what the hell he had that he could give this much land to the city of Hartford?
Believe it or not, he made his fortune in the grocery store business. For an interactive map with photos from our interviews around Kinney Park, visit radiusproject.org. There you can also hear our other episodes centered around Park Street, Mount Olive Church, Mazzucato's Bakery, and the riverfront. I'm Julia Pastel.
And I'm Jamil Ragland. Our podcast is also produced by Jay Holt and Katie Tolarski. Thanks to Heather Brandon, Beth Messina, Shayna Sirik, Rob Gabbery, Ryan Karen King, Charlie Smart, and John Dankoski.
Radius is made possible by the Greater Hartford Arts Council and the City of Hartford Arts and Heritage Jobs Grant. Tang Sauce produced our theme music. In this episode, you also heard the sweet sounds of Hartford's own Jackie McLean. For more info, go to radiusproject.org.
My name is Eddie, man. You in Kinney Park, okay? And this is lovely park, all right? I'm doing what I do every day. I come up here and fish. Okay, and I clean up around here. There's a lot of garbage around and stuff. Okay, I make sure the park is clean. My favorite part about me here, enjoying myself and getting away. Okay, and when kids here, I help them. You know, if I got my fishing poles, I let them use my fishing poles. Just like these people here, you know. Well, they catch catfish, they catch turtles, right? They catch frogs, okay? They got a little stream over there. They go down there and get worms and stuff. Okay? I'll be 61 end of this month. I've been coming here all my life, man.